Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. And right now, let's join Rick as he shares the final part of a message called Offering Forgiveness.
In order to experience the freedom of forgiveness, you have to do these four things. Number one, recognize we're all imperfect. That's the first step. Recognize we're all imperfect. You see, when we hate somebody, we tend to lose our perspective about them. And when we're filled with resentment, and when we're filled with bitterness, and when we're filled with hurt, we tend to dehumanize the offender. We treat them like an animal. We demonize them. We forget that they're a human being too. And the fact is, we're all sinners. We're all capable of hurting others. And in fact, let me say it this way. Every one of us have intentionally wronged other people in our lives. Oh, not the same degree, not even in the same way. But you have been selfish in your life, and so have I. And you have intentionally hurt people, and so have I. So we're all in the same boat. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 7. There's not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. And so we're all imperfect. And they are not an animal, but they are a human being. They are an offender, and they have wronged you, and that's serious. We're not minimizing it. But they're not an animal. The second thing is I relinquish my right to get even. I relinquish my right to get even. Now, this is the heart of forgiveness. This is what forgiveness is all about. The Bible says in Romans 12, 19, would you read it with me? Never avenge yourselves, leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. The second step in forgiveness, and what forgiveness really is when I say, I give up my right to get even with you. You deserve to be hurt back, but I'm not going to do it. You deserve to be retaliated against, but I'm not going to do it. You deserve to be punished, and I deserve to get even, but I'm going to give up that right. You say, Rick, that's unfair. And you're right, it is. But who said life is fair? God never said life was fair. Folks, this is not heaven. This is not a place of perfection. This is a place where people sin, where people make mistakes. I do, you do, and everybody else does. And life is not fair. There is not always justice in the world. There's a lot of injustice. But here's the good news. God says one day he's going to settle the score. One day, God is going to balance the books. One day, God is going to call in the accounts. One day, God is going to even out the balance. And the Bible says, don't avenge yourselves. Don't try to get even. Leave it to God, for God has said, he is going to repay those who deserve it. One day, God's going to have the last word. In the meantime, you let go of your right to get the last word because it's making you miserable. Because your resentment doesn't work. And your resentment keeps you from being forgiven. And your resentment keeps you unhealthy, it's unreasonable, it's unhelpful. And so you say, let God be God. God, I'm going to let you settle this score. In the meantime, I'm going to release my right to get even, and I'm going to ask you to fill me with your peace. Now, how often do I have to do that? How often do I have to release my right to get even with the person who's hurt me? I'll tell you, as often as the hurt memory comes back. And every time you start to get resentful again, you have to do it again. You have to really, listen, forgiveness is not some one-time shot where you say, you're forgiven and you never think about it again. If you've ever been deeply hurt, you know that doesn't work. Because you can forgive a person and really mean it, and 5 minutes later or 5 seconds later, feel the pain again and going, I don't know if I want to forgive them or not. So you do it over and over and over. Forgiveness is not a one-shot deal. It is a repeated act of saying, I give up my right to get even. Jesus taught this. Notice what he says. Peter asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Peter thinks he's being real generous here. No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. In other words, an infinite number. Don't even try to count it. Every time you're hurt, every time you remember that hurt, you must forgive them again until that you know you've released it. Now, it is not always advisable. It's not even always possible for you to go to that person and go back to the person who've hurt you. It's not even always advisable. They may be unaware. They may have changed. They may have remarried. Maybe it would make matters worse. They may have moved. They may have even died. And so sometimes you may have to use what I call the empty chair technique. And that's where you sit down a chair and you imagine that person there and you say, ex-husband or ex-wife or mom or dad or friend who betrayed me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you. And I release my right to get even with you, because I'm not going to carry the pain anymore. Because the longer I hold on to the pain, I'm still allowing you to control me, and I'm not going to allow you to control me anymore. And so I forgive you, and I'm letting it go. I'm walking away from it, and I'm not going to try to get even in my mind or anywhere else. You may need to write a letter, and then you tear up the letter. You never send it. But you release them. Why? So you can be free. So you stop letting people from your past continue to hurt you in the present. Then there's a third thing you do. Once I've recognized we're all imperfect and I've relinquished my right to get even, I respond to the evil with good. I respond to the evil with good. Now, how do you know when you've fully released someone? I'll tell you how you know. When you can understand their hurt and when you can pray for them. Do you remember when Tara said, in the early days of our getting back together, she said, I had to pray 1,000 times a day. I don't think that was an exaggeration, because if you've ever been deeply hurt, you know how often it takes to say, God, I give you that hurt again. God, I give you that hurt again. I give you that hurt again. And you keep saying it. But in her doing that, eventually, something began to change, and the forgiveness process began to work, because at one point it says, she said, I started to pray that my husband would become a Christian. All of a sudden, she wasn't praying, God, I pray he gets run over by a truck, maimed, mutilated, and die 1,000 deaths, but I'm praying he becomes a Christian. What happened? In that process of yielding her right to get even, she began to respond, and God began to change her heart, and she began to pray for good in his life rather than evil. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 6. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Now let me tell you something. There's no way you can do that verse on your own power. Humanly speaking, you can't do that 1,000 times a day. Humanly speaking, you don't have enough love and forgiveness and joy in your life from the human standpoint to continually forgive everybody who's hurt you. It takes God's power. The only way you can do that is if you get Jesus Christ in your life and he fills you with his love and his peace and his forgiveness, because honestly, human love runs out. And you don't have it in your heart to do good to those who hate you continuously and to pray for those who have mistreated you continuously. The only way you can do it is if you say, Jesus Christ, fill my heart and life with your love. Why? Because look at the next verse. Because love keeps no record of wrongs. When you're filled with love, you're not keeping a record of wrong. That means if you're keeping a record of wrong, you're not filled with love at that moment. You're filled with hate. You're filled with bitterness. You're filled with resentment. And so don't pretend that you're filled with love, because you're not, if you're keeping a record of wrong. Now, Tara responded to her husband by praying for good rather than evil. And now I want you to hear the rest of the story.
As Tara has already told you, my addiction to lust, which led to many numerous affairs, nearly destroyed everything that was important to me. Tara shared the first miracle of how her hurt and our marriage was healed when she obeyed God and offered forgiveness to me for my unfaithfulness. Now I would like to share my side of the story. how Jesus Christ used that act of forgiveness to get my attention, save me, heal me, and turn my life around. I was raised in an upper middle class home with little intimacy. At 13, while living in Europe, I started doing drugs and I lost my virginity. By 18, I was a full-blown addict to both drugs and lust. My constant partying was my way of masking all the bad feelings I had about myself. But the more I experimented with drugs and sex, the more unfulfilled I felt. I was never satisfied. Even after I married Tara, I continued my fantasy world of lust and numerous adulterous affairs. I was living a double life, and my family was not important to me. Throughout my life, I have been raised in the Jewish faith, but I felt that my religion was forced down my throat, and I eventually became cynical of anything spiritual. Since I felt ashamed of my lifestyle, I could not have a relationship to God. By January of 1995, I had hit bottom. Even though my business was good, I had no contact with God, and I was suicidal. Suicide is the ultimate form of selfishness, and I thought about it at least 3 times a day. I had no purpose for my life, and I couldn't see a future that I could contribute to, much less enjoy. Then, by the grace of God, my wife started attending Saddleback Church. As God began to work in her life, she invited me, her estranged husband, to attend the services with her. But because of my intense guilt, I didn't feel comfortable attending. I also felt that by going to church, I would be turning my back on my Jewish heritage. But gradually, as I came every Sunday, I felt more comfortable and I was able to soak in the message. I met with Pastor Tom and we talked about how Christ and the disciples were Jewish and that accepting Christ was an extension and completion of my faith. It was starting to make sense, but I still felt so unworthy of God and Christ's love and forgiveness. Then on Easter Sunday, I heard and felt Rick's message on how do I know God loves me. I heard Jeremiah 29:11, which says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a future, and a good future. Rick also quoted Romans 3:23-24. Yes, all have sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ who freely takes away our sins. It was amazing to me to hear this after all my unfaithfulness to Tara, but it was true. I felt God's love for me, and I realized that he sent Christ to die for me and pay for all those sins that I was ashamed of. I committed my life to Christ on Easter Sunday and announced it by turning in a commitment card at the end of the service. The next month, I went to another life-changing event called Promise Keepers. I tried to get out of it at first, but God said, you're going. Tara let me spend the night in the guest room after the first night of Promise Keepers. And when I came home that night, she said I was glowing, and not because I was sunburned. I got on my knees, and I thanked God for the gift of my wife and for her forgiveness. And I made a vow to change and become the spiritual leader of my family. I was determined to rebuild the trust and relationship that I had foolishly destroyed. Several months later, I moved back into our home. It was Father's Day. In the days that followed, we both went through a lot of hard times as we both sought to rebuild our relationship through repentance, restitution, and restoration of trust. The biggest help in taking these steps came from Saddleback Celebrate Recovery meetings, which I started attending on Friday nights. Every week, my relationship with Christ and Tara just took another step forward. I still struggle with the world and its ways. I still face the challenge of being a Christian and remaining in God's light. That's why I continue to work the biblical steps to recovery at Celebrate Recovery. The difference is I have the love and forgiveness and hope in Jesus Christ to help me. I look forward to life, and I can't wait for heaven either. Because of the act of forgiveness from God and from Tara, I am now committed to God's purpose for my life and living for his glory. I look for opportunities to express God's amazing forgiveness to others. I was once blind, but now I can see the light. I was once blind, but now I can see life clearly. You can see too if you turn to the light. In closing, let me say that if you have been deeply wronged by someone and you feel that they don't deserve to be forgiven, you're right. But if you do offer forgiveness, it will not only set you free from your pain, it may also bring that individual to Christ, like Tara's forgiveness did for me. Please do whatever God and Jesus tells you to do. Thank you.
If you want to experience the freedom of forgiveness, there's a fourth step, and you have to take this one too, and it's refocus. I refocus on God's plan for my life. I stop focusing on the offense. I stop focusing on the hurt. I stop focusing on the person who has offended me. And instead, I begin to refocus on God's purpose for my life, which is greater than any problem or any pain that I'm experiencing. Now, as long as you continue to focus on that person who's hurt you, they control you. In fact, let me take it a step further. Until you release that person, if you don't release your offender, you will begin to resemble your offender. It's a law of life that we become like whatever we focus on, forever good or bad. And people who say, I'm never going to be like my mother. Oh, yeah? I would never do that to my kids. Oh, yeah? I would never be like that person, that ex, what they did to me. I would never do that. But you continue to focus on it. And what you focus on, if you don't release it, you will begin to resemble. And the hate in your heart will eat you up. Now, Job, who had every reason to be offended and every reason to have resentment, gives us the three steps for refocusing your life in Job 11. Read it with me. Put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Now, notice he says three things to do. Number one, you want to get total forgiveness first. Put your heart right. That means release and forgive the person who's hurt you. You say, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Because God says to do it, and because you're only making yourself miserable holding on to the hurt. Then he says, reach out to God. That means ask Christ into your life, because you don't have enough power and love and forgiveness on your own to do good to those who hurt you. So you say, Jesus Christ, I'm reaching out to you. I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Mormon, Buddhist, Baptist. You say, Jesus Christ, I'm reaching out to you, and I want a relationship with you. And fill me daily with your love, 1,000 times a day, if that's what it takes. Please do it. And then number three, it says, face the world again. You don't withdraw into a shell. You don't build up walls. You don't say, I'm never again going to let another man hurt me. I'm never going to open myself up to any relationship anymore. No way. That's dumb. Because you're cutting yourself off from love, and your heart will shrivel and die if you do that. No, you don't say, I'm a victim and I'm going to cave in and close and don't let anybody get touch me, and I'm going to be a porcupine and no more open up and no more intimacy and no more vulnerability. No, you face the world again and you resume living and you say, I'm not a victim. And with Jesus Christ's power, I'm going to start living again. And when you do those three steps, notice what it says. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. The memory will fade. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that memory, that hurt, to stop hurting you? It will, if you'll do what God says. Let's bow our heads. I want you to pray this prayer. Regardless of how you've been wronged, Jesus Christ can make the rest of your life the best of your life. Say, dear God, I admit that I've been hurt by other people, and my resentment has made me act in ways that's been unreasonable and unhelpful and even unhealthy. Would you give me the power to release and forgive those who've hurt me so I can stop letting them control me? Would you please replace my hurt with the peace of Jesus Christ? And by the way, God, I realize I've hurt others with my habits and hang-ups. Would you help me make a list of those I've harmed, and in the right way, at the right time, to humbly seek to make amends. Jesus Christ, I want to refocus my life on you, and I want to face the future courageously. I reach out to you today, and I want you to put my heart right, and I want you to help me to face the world again so that that memory can fade from my mind. If you've never asked Christ into your life, say, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, please come into my heart and life and be number one. Make yourself real to me. As much as I know how, I ask you to take over the controls of my life and lead me and guide me and fill me with your love. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. Well, friends, you know, it can be so challenging to keep your eyes fixed on the eternal values found in God's Word. But I know, if you want to live the purpose-filled life that God designed for you, then you really need to know His Word. So Pastor Rick created a special set of scripture cards with key verses from his Building Your Life on Values That Last sermon series. This set of 52 beautifully designed cards will help you memorize scripture, so you can recall God's Word when you need it the most. You can also use them to minister to others, give one to a friend, and write a personalized note of encouragement on the back. And if a scripture really speaks out to you, frame it. Why not? Put them in places where you can read them during the day for encouragement. This set of scripture cards will help you discover a life of true success and significance as you build it on the foundation of God's unchanging truth. And when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, please request your copy of the Building Your Life on Values That Last scripture cards. It's our way of saying thank you so much for your support. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.